2. This evening, I'm going to try and do something a little different. I'm going to try to teach Amy something. Do you have your pen ready? You do? Not yet. Okay, get your pen ready. I had anticipated, as I had read through Genesis chapter 2 the first couple of times, of going a lot further than what I'm going to go, but I just couldn't. The information just kept piling and piling and piling, and I hope that you learned something good and something that, especially those of you who teach, that you'll be able to use in the future. I hope this isn't all old information. I hope you do get something new from this tonight. In our last study of Genesis, we finished chapter 1 as we talked about day 5 and 6 of creation. We watched as God created the fish of the waters and the birds that filled the air during day 5, and we watched as God created all living animals and humans on day 6. We learned that God, in these 2 days of creation, created a vast multitude of animals and a wide array of each and every species. We learned that every life form had plant life to eat to sustain all, that no life was in danger of attack of another as each lived off the existing plant life that God had created. All life lived together in perfect harmony and did so until the sin of man entered the world and broke the cycle of harmony. We learned that man's job was to enjoy and take care of the animals God created and bring glory to his name. Tonight we're going to explore day 7. Day 7. So let's read Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. So the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. Everything was done. Now, understand, church, get that in your mind. Everything was done. All that God had created was done. It was complete. He didn't want to add anything to it. He didn't see something over to the side and say, yeah, I'm going to get that a little later. Scripture tells us that creation was complete. God was done. By the seventh day, God completed his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy. For on it he rested from his work of creation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We love you. We praise you for allowing us to come back into your house tonight. God, you're allowing us to come back into your house and learn more about you. And I thank you for all those who've come back tonight because they genuinely do want to learn more about you. God, we pray that you would be with those who aren't here. Pray that you would just touch their heart. God, put a desire in their heart for them to learn, want to learn more about you. But Lord, while we're here, help us to honor you by learning something new that we might be of greater use for you. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now, there's some things that we need to know to better help us understand the scripture that we just read. So they're kind of like pre-qualifiers, and some of them are qualifiers. So I'm going to go ahead and give those to you first. Number one, as we stand back a moment and look at what we just read, we understand that the seventh day was and is a Saturday. It's not Sunday. Okay? The seventh day is Saturday. And God, through the process of time, with his chosen people, would declare this day holy and call this day the Sabbath. He hadn't yet. Now, he had declared the day holy, but he had not instituted the Sabbath day as of right now. All we see right here in the Scripture, and let's try to blindfold ourselves and not look forward. We're going to look forward here in a second. But as we look at this Scripture and understand this point right here tonight, we understand that God created the Sabbath or created the seventh day on the seventh day, and he rested. Now, it was recorded that he rested for an unbelievable reason. And we'll get to that here in a second as well. Now, the word Sabbath is not found in our scripture tonight, but Moses is writing about the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. The phrase seventh day is mentioned 3 times in verses 2 and 3. Sabbath, the word Sabbath comes from the word, Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to cease working, to rest. And it is related to the Hebrew word seven. Now, what was required under the Jewish law on the Sabbath? What is it exactly that the Jews were told to do? Now, I'm not talking about the extensions. I'm talking about the original Sabbath. What did God ask them to do on the Sabbath or the seventh day? To rest. To rest. And that included, Miss Desi, you know, don't work. It means to rest. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Through the process of being a Christian, I haven't put a whole lot of thought into exactly what God was talking about or why he wanted this to take place until I started doing this study on Genesis chapter 2, the seventh day. So hopefully you'll get a little, you'll learn a little bit tonight. Warren Wiersbe says this about the seventh day of creation. The first Sabbath did not take place because God was tired. See, in our mind, we have the concept and we have the idea. When I rest, it's because I'm tired. When you rest, it's because you're tired. You've worked. But that's not why God created the Sabbath or the seventh day. God was not tired from all the creative work that he had done, because God does not get weary. Isaiah 40:28 tells us, do you not know? Have you not heard? Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never grows faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. God, listen, if God didn't create the seventh day or the Sabbath day because he was weary, he had to have had another reason, right? Right? Okay. So God set apart the seventh day because his work of creation was finished. And he was pleased and satisfied with what he created. Genesis 1:31 tells us that God saw that everything he had made, and behold, it was good. It was good. God set apart the seventh day because his creation was finished. Now, understand, God didn't just institute this for no reason, right? He did not. It was there for a reason. It's recorded for a reason. Well, Brother Kyle, you said that twice now. What is it? Just be patient. Courtney, be patient. I'm getting to it, okay? Vicky, control your daughter. You're getting out of hand. So tonight we need to understand here that God had not yet instituted the Sabbath or mandated his people to observe this day. What we see on this day is that God saw what he created and rested or stopped creating. What we see is, church, listen. What we see is God enjoying what he has created. He stopped. He had done, you know, we have gone through 6 days of unbelievable creation. I told y'all I can't imagine what the fifth and sixth day looked like. I mean, he was just busy creating the fowls of the air, the fish in the sea. He even created man. I would think it'd take him at least one whole day to create a woman, but no. Church, when he comes to the seventh day, he just stops. And he's enjoying what he's created. But there's a reason. He didn't just create the seventh day for himself, because Scripture says he does not get weary. So what is it, Brother Kyle? Calm down, Steve. I'm going to get to it here in a second. Now, what do we need to see about the seventh or the Sabbath day? First, we need to see that there is no mention of evening and morning. You know, when we're talking about the other days of creation, we hear God say, or Moses record, evening and morning, and then the day was done. Warren Wiersbe suggests that this is to mean that God's Sabbath rest would have no end. No end. or at least God had not intended to remove himself from the rest until something halted his rest. Now, I think he created all he had created. Seventh day came and he rested. And if this is true, he didn't intend to do anything but enjoy his creation until something stopped it. Now remember that all that God had created up to this point was contingent upon that which he created to adhere to the way he intended them to act. Okay? Birds fly, they drink water, they eat seed, they keep going, they multiply. They do all that they do, and God was contingent that everything that he created would continue as they would. Now, what then could remove this time of rest? God created all he created. If it wasn't intended for him to do anything but rest and enjoy what he created, what could have jarred him from his rest? Huh? Man's sin. Our sin. Now, second thing that I want us to see is that God blessed the seventh day. Did y'all see that? He blessed the seventh day. We have no record in this historical book or any other book that God blessed any other day of the week. What we need to understand here is that God blessed this day, and he intended this day to be a blessing. If God blesses something, he intends for that thing which he blessed to be a blessing, right? Yeah. Now, what could cause this day not to be a blessing to us? What is it? What could cause it not to be a blessing? The answer to that is us. We are the cause of this day not being a blessing unto us. Our sin has put us on a course. Now, hold on, Alec, all you college students, I want y'all to hear that because you have a chance. Your parents might not have the chance that y'all have right now. I'm serious. All you children, y'all pay attention to this because you still have a chance not to do and make the mistakes that we've made. Okay? Y'all ready? You ready? You paying attention? Listen. Our sin has put us on a course of self-sustaining instead of reliance on our Creator. We are constantly trying to sustain. I've got to eat. My kids have got to eat. I've got to pay the power bill. I've got to pay the water bill. I've got to pay the sewer bill. I've got to pay the cable bill. I've got to sustain. I've got to sustain. I've got to sustain. Right? That's what we do. But it gets worse. Listen, y'all, listen. Through the process of time, we have gone from self-sustaining to self-indulgence. Gotta have it. I gotta have it. We think we must have everything. Listen, what we have created for ourselves is what keeps us from enjoying the blessings of rest. Think about that for a second. God created the seventh day that we would rest and enjoy the creation. Now, whose fault is it if we can't? It's ours. It's ours. God blessed it that it might be a blessing, right? If it's not a blessing, whose fault is that? It's ours. It's ours. Why? Because we have gone from self-sustaining. God was sustaining all the people. Adam and Eve. They were in the garden. He was sustaining them. Their sin caused them to go from a God sustaining them to a self-sustaining. Through the process of time, we've gone from self-sustaining. Y'all's parents, the older people, y'all's parents were self-sustaining. They had chickens. They had a garden. They knew how to fish. They had, a lot of them had ponds on their own. They canned. They put stuff up in the freezer, right? But they were self-sustaining. Our generation, we are not only self-sustaining, we are self-indulgent. We got to have it. And listen, we can't have it tomorrow. We got to have it now, right now. And once we have it, we're satisfied for about how long? Yeah, to get something else on our mind, and we got to have it. We got to have it. So we've gone through this process when God intended for us to be. He wanted to sustain us. He wanted to take care of us. He wanted to be our provider. Amen? So who messed it up? We messed it up. Now, after blessing the seventh day, on our scripture tonight said that God declared this day holy. So not only did he bless it, but he declared the day holy, meaning he sanctified this day or set it apart from all other days. Church, God did this that people, the people he created would stop and rest from all they had done. That we would stop and enjoy what he has created for us. Now, I hope I don't step on myself here in a second. It was never about do's and don'ts. It was never about the legalism that the Jews put on it later on down the line. It was about a day of rest where you could stop and enjoy what God created and reflect on the beauty and the majesty of who God was. In other words, Romans chapter 1, verse 20, God reveals himself through his creation. Amen? Even the invisible things that are clearly seen, that man is without excuse. He just wants you to be still. Like Psalm says, be still and know that I'm God. That's what the day is about. Just stopping. Be still. God, listen, when God created the seventh day or he created the Sabbath, he knew the heart of man. I've got to get ahead. That's how, men in this room, how many times have y'all said that to yourselves when you were working? I've got to get ahead. They used to call me overtime when I worked at the plant because there was never a time that the phone rang that I turned it down. Amy, was there ever a time that my boss called me, a supervisor, I said, no, I can't come in? In my mind, I'm going to get ahead. Can I tell y'all a little secret? I never did. All those hours, all those overtime hours I worked, I never got ahead. Well, brother, you just don't know how to handle your money. Well, I don't know. I was in my 20s. I guess not. But through that process, church, I didn't know how to rest. And there's a part of me today, and I'm 46 years old. I'm in the ministry now, just in case y'all didn't know. I still have a problem resting. I do. When we went on our trip this past year, I mean, she had to tell me for the first 3 days, stop. Just stop. Sit down and rest. And there were a couple of times I thought I was just about there. We got to our first destination. We got to St. Thomas, and she got me in a underneath a tree, and she was out there sunbathing, and I was taking a nap. It was a glorious nap. One of those breezes, it was overcast, and Alec, I was gone. About that time, I hear this right here. I'm like, what in the world is going on? And this guy walks down there with one of those bullets, the little bullets, the little microphones, and he's doing this right here. And I'm thinking, oh, come on. And Amy looks at him and goes, come on. You know what he does? He puts country music on. Think, white people like country music. So he put country music on. I'm like, not funny. Not funny. But I have a problem resting. And I know I'm not any different from some of y'all. I'm really not. Why? Because it's my wiring. It's my makeup. And do you know I have to make myself at times just stop and rest. Just stop and rest. Now, as we fast forward to after God created his people, the Hebrew children, past Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, past the first years of bondage in Egypt, now we come to the time when God wrote the Sabbath into law. God connected the Sabbath to creation at Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. So let's turn there real quick. Exodus 20, verse 8. Exodus verse 20 says, Exodus verse 20, verse 8 says this. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son, or daughter. See, there, God, hey, y'all get a day off. Right? On Saturdays when you come home from school, Samantha, look at when you come home from school, on Saturday you wake up and your mama knocks on your door, says, sweetie, you hadn't vacuumed the car, you hadn't swept, and you say, hey, mama, it's the Sabbath day. You need to read Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. But there's a problem. We'll get to the problem here in a minute. But I mean, you can use it. It ain't going to work. But all right, listen. It says, your daughter, your male or female slaves, your livestock, or the foreigner who is within your gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything. What are we talking about right here? Talking about the days of creation. Look at that. Look at that. And everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it what? Holy. That's exactly right. Listen, Warren Wiersbe says, keeping the Sabbath was a humanitarian act as well as a religious duty. God did this that we would rest in Him and enjoy Him. But God did not stop there. Wiersbe says, the Lord commanded His people to observe every seventh year as a sabbatical year and every 50th year as a year of Jubilee. This would permit the land to enjoy its Sabbath and be renewed. So the Sabbath was a day of renewal. You would work 6 days out of the week. Man, those people, they were slave drivers. What? Yeah, work 6 days a week, and you would rest. It was a day of renewal, reflection, giving God the glory. Now, as we know, we're fast-forwarding just a little bit more. As we know, the Jewish priests made the Sabbath into a very legalistic day of do's and don'ts, restricting what people would say and do, what they could eat, and even how far they could walk on a given Sabbath day. Now, when Jesus came, He made it very clear what the Sabbath was to be. Now, let's run to Mark chapter 2. Now, you don't have to turn there unless you want to, but Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Mark chapter 2, verse 27 says this. Then He, being Jesus, told them, the Sabbath was made for man. Now, who said that? Well, that verifies what I just said a little bit ago, didn't I? God had an intention. God had a reason for creating the Sabbath. Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. What had the Jews done? What had the Jewish priests done? They had made the Sabbath for man, right? Not the man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath. Now, church, there's no scriptural evidence that God ever required. Listen to me. Now, some of you older people in the back, y'all might be getting ready to get mad at me. I love you. Listen to this. There is no scriptural evidence that God ever required any other nation to observe the Sabbath, because the Jews alone were His chosen race of people. But this concept of a promised rest is applied to believers today from the book of Hebrews. The first Christian believers met daily for fellowship and worship. They also met on the first day of the week in recognition of the resurrection of Christ. Many believers have tried to bring the Christian day of worship into a Jewish legalistic day of Sabbath, and it does not work. Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? Amy's great-grandmother, Josie Morrow, very, very Christ-like woman from what I understand. Never met her. Alex, she would cook on Saturday night. Everything. And leave it on the stove. Go to church Sunday morning. When they got back from church, all she would do was warm that dude up, warm all that stuff up. She's not cooking. What was she trying to do? She was trying to take the old covenant and the laws and meld them with the new covenant and Christianity. Right? Was that scriptural? No. No. My Aunt Joy used to tell us that they could do, her my grandmother Waddell would not let them do anything. Said that there was a guy that used to go down to the mill pond in Tabor City every Sunday and sell shaved ice. Now, that was a treat, I guess. Said her mama wouldn't even let her go to walk to the to Lake Tabor to get shaved ice on Sunday. Because you had to walk. It was like a mile and a half to get there. You're not walking a mile and a half. Where did that concept come from? The legalism, right? Well, what did Jesus say? The Sabbath was made for who? Man, not man for the Sabbath. Warren Wiersbe says this about confusing the Lord's Day and the Sabbath. He says, to make the Lord's Day into a Christian Sabbath is, and y'all get this, this is good. He says, to confuse the Lord's Day and the Sabbath, to make the Lord's Day into a Christian Sabbath is to confuse what the two days stand for in God's plan of salvation. The Jewish Sabbath, which he instituted first, the Jewish Sabbath symbolizes the old creation and the covenant law. Listen, this is what it did. First you work, and then you rest. So the Old Testament law and the covenant was first you work, and then you rest. Now the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, symbolizes the new creation and the new covenant of grace. First you believe in Christ, and then you find rest. Did y'all get that? Listen, I got excited when I read this. I did. I'll let you have my notes later, honey, so you don't have to worry about catching up. Old covenant, you worked, and then you rested. The new covenant, you accept Christ, and then you rest. And listen, and once you find rest, then you work. In God's new creation, God's Spirit enables us to make the entire week an experience of worship, praise, and service to the glory of God. Amen? See, y'all didn't get as excited about this as I did. Yeah, this broke out. This is boring. This is boring. Boring. Come on. Tonight, we have seen what God created on the seventh day, a day of rest. What have you made this day to be? What have you made this day to be? Is it a day of rest for you? Are you living, praying that God will sustain you? Are you self-sustaining? Or are you living a life of such self-indulgence that you can't even rest on the day that God created? Now, we as Christians, do we fall under the legalism that the Jews created with the Sabbath day? No. Are we bound by the Jewish laws of the Sabbath? No. No. The seventh day was created for the Hebrew children. We're Christians. Should we still rest? Yeah. Should we still reflect? Yes. Listen, the more you put on your plate, the less you're going to be able to rest and enjoy what God's created for you. So, young people, listen. As you start your lives, don't put more on your plate than you need to. Because if you do, you're not going to be able to rest in the capacity that God wants you to. There are so many people who they're running through this life and they're running themselves ragged. And if they would understand this concept that what God created, He had created that we might be able to enjoy life in a greater way, you'd be a whole lot better off. Amen? All right, let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your word tonight. God, we thank you that you did give us a day of rest, a day to reflect on you and how good you are and how good you continue to be to us, Lord. God, I pray that you would help us Lord, not to be bound by the Sabbath, God, but help us to just stop. Just stop on Sundays. As we come to worship you, just stop and be still. And Lord, pay attention to what's going on around us. I know the 6 days of the week, God, there's so much going on and there's so much we try to do. And Lord, we're all multitaskers now. We've got a cell phone in one hand, a phone in the other hand, and a computer screen in front of our face. And God, we try to do so much. But God, on your day, Lord, help us to stop and remember who you are and what you've done for us. In Christ Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, this is your invitation. If you need to come, the altar's open to you.